Jules tore off a piece of bread and began to eat it. This surprised me at first, since he could not derive any nutritional value from it, but I reasoned it would fill his stomach and make him feel less hungry.
"Wait a second," Jessery said. "Are you trying to develop a theory that there is a cause-and-effect relationship at work, that the Ernudans began their journey because of events that took place here on Arb?"
"I'm just saying it is a coincidence that needs looking at," Saman said.
We ate and thought. I had a head start on the eating, so I briefed Jessery and Leo, as well as others who drifted in, such as three of the Veilers, on the conversations we had had in the plurality of worlds messel about the Wick, and the idea that Arb might be the HTW of other worlds, such as Ernud. The newcomers then had to be brought up to speed on the first part of this morning's conversation, so the conversation forked and devolved into a general hubbub for a couple of minutes.
"So information could flow from Arb to Ernud in that scenario," Jessery concluded, loudly enough to shut everyone up and retake the floor.
"But why would the third sack trigger such behavior on the part of an Ernudan star captain?"
"Fra Jessery, remember the margin of error that Saman was careful to specify," Arcibald said. "The trigger could have been anything that happened in this cosmos in the 4 decades beginning around 2760. And I'll remind you that this would include
events leading up to the third sack," I blurted. Silence. Discomfort. Averted gazes. Except for Jules Verne Durand, who was staring right at me and nodding. I recalled his willingness to broach excruciating topics at Messel, and decided to draw strength from that. "I'm done tiptoeing around this topic," I said. "It all fits together. Fra Clothrand of Edhar was the tip of an iceberg. Others back then, who knows how many thousands, worked on a praxis of some kind. Prokians and Halicarnians alike. It's hard to know the truth of what this praxis was capable of. The parking ramp dinosaur hints at what it could do when they made mistakes. We know what the seculars thought of it, how they reacted. The records were destroyed, the practitioners massacred, except in the Three Inviolates. There's no telling what people like Fra Jad have been up to since then. I'll bet they've just been nursing it along."
"Keeping the pilot light burning," Leo called.
"Yeah," I said. "But something about what they did, circa 2760 when the praxis reached its zenith, sent out a signal that propagated down the Wick and was noticed somehow by the Theors of Ernud."
"It drew them here, you're saying," said Leo. "Like a dinner bell."
"Like the fragrance of this bread," I said.
"Perhaps it's not just the smell of the bread that has drawn others to this room, Fra Erasmus," Arcibald suggested. "Perhaps it is the sound of the conversation. Half-overheard words, not understandable at a distance, but enough to pique the interest of any sentient person in range of the voices."
"You're saying that's what it might have been like to the Ernudan Theors on that ship," I said, "when they received, I don't know, emanations, hints, signals, percolating down the Wick from Arb."
"Precisely," said Arcibald.
We all turned to Jules. He had removed some Lateran food from a bag and, having sated his appetite with stuff he could not digest, was now eating a few bites of what his body could use. He noticed the attention, shrugged, and swallowed.
"Do not hold your breath waiting for an explanation from the pedestal. Those of 900 years ago were rational Theors, to be sure. But during the long, dark years of their wandering, it became something better recognizable as a priesthood. And the closer these priests get to their god, the more they fear it."
"I wonder if we might calm them down just a little bit by getting them to see they're not actually that close," Jessery said.
"What do you mean?"
Arcibald asked.
"Fra Jad's an interesting guy and all," Jessery said. "But he doesn't seem like a god or even a prophet to me. Whatever it is that he's doing when he chants or plays Teglon all night, I don't think it is godlike. I think he's just picking up signals coming to Arb from farther up the Wick."
By now, everyone had shown up and eaten except for Fra Jad. We found him sitting in the middle of the Decagon, eating some food that had been brought out to him by the staff. The Decagon looked altogether different. When we had passed across it yesterday, it had been paved in hand-sized clay tiles, dark brown and grooved, just like the ones I'd played with at Orathena, except proportionally smaller. The groove seemed to run unbroken from one vertex to the opposite. I had not taken the time to verify this, but I assumed it was a correct solution. For those who wanted to try their hands at it, baskets of white porcelain tiles, marked with black glazed lines instead of grooves, had been stacked all around the edges. This morning, though, the baskets were empty, and Fra Jad was enjoying his breakfast on a seamless white courtyard decorated with a wandering black line. During the night, he had tiled the whole thing. When we understood this, we burst into applause. Archibald and Jessery were shouting as if at a ball game. The Veilers approached Fra Jad and bowed very low.